Amen.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for those words to our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Tonight we're going to be doing a sharing on Yahweh's generated births. And so different, certain births that are very important in Yahweh's terms and how, why they're different. So on the generated births, and so people will say Yahushua is human. And so we're just going to reevaluate terminologies. So this is kind of coming into a two-part teaching on supernatural, because supernatural doesn't make any sense above natural, and natural doesn't mean birth. And so we got words that are just insane, and they're not in the Word. So we're going to go back to the Word. And so the births we're going to look at that are exceptional, that are a one of a kind, is obviously we know Adam and Eve. And we're going to look at, Isaac with Sarah and Abram. We're going to look at Elizabeth and Zechariah, which is the same way. And then we're going to look at Mary with Christ. Let's look at the word human. Yahushua was not a human. So let's grab our terminology and go back. Human is the Latin word homo, meaning man, human being. And so what are we doing with a Latin word? Where is the Hebrew word? What is Yahweh called people? All right. So human in the Old Covenant is Adam. It's always Adam. That is 120, the Hebrew word 120. And it can mean the person Adam, or it can mean mankind, Adam. It's always Adam, so it's not human. And so what it ends up doing is the Greek Septuagint changed that when it wasn't talking to Adam. It's not Adam, it's Adam. He changed it to Anthropos. Anthropos. Greek 444. The Greek have the word Adam, and that's number 76, but that's the name of Adam. And,
that's the man name.
Yeah, that is the proper name. But when it becomes this, like the son of man, like in Ezekiel, they changed it to Anthropos, 444, which is wrong because the Hebrew keeps it Adam, son of Adam. And so Adam is the generator of all of us, everybody. Adam, which is Adam and Eve, so Eve is called Adam also. So that's in Psalms 80:17, it talks about Son of Man. Hebrew is, we don't have to go there, so Hebrew is Adam, and the Greeks changed it to Anthropos. And so, when people start talking about human, let's just get rid of that. You know, that's not portraying what Yahweh's saying. And so if you look at the word, as a human being, as Genesis, Adam is 126, Genesis 126, 27, 2 verse 5, 2 verse 7, 2 verse 8, it's all the way through there, that, you know, that Yahweh made Adam in his own image, the image of Him created he them, male and female created he them. That's Adam, Adam, Adam. So if we go back to that, we're going to stop a lot of confusion.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What's Ish and Isha? Is that?
That's husband and wife, but it's also, it can be man.
Okay.
So Ish is human, is usually the male, and Isha is the female, which is usually a wife, the husband and wife. They can be translated male or female, but it's usually husband and wife. Ish and Ishak. It starts in Genesis chapter 3. Okay. Now we start looking at the word supernatural birth. Now, super means above, over, or beyond. Beyond and natural means birth. And so we're just so messed up. Nature means birth. N-A-T means birth. And Robert Boyle made a great book on that. You know, there is no nature in the Old Covenant. The word nature doesn't exist. Why is that even in our vocabulary? Because now we have, you know, nature is so beautiful, and we actually, as like a god, nature gave us this or nature Mother gave nature. Us this. Yeah, Mother Nature. But, you know, it's just we've got to stop that. And when we're saying nature, we're not saying birth. We've got some other way we're actually using this on Yahweh's creation. So if Yahweh doesn't have the word nature in his vocabulary, neither should we. We'll just start calling that. So natural, so it's not supernatural. That's why I say it's Yahweh generated, because what we get into not a supernatural or metaphysical is above physical. No, we're talking about, it's not physical. It's not natural. It is Yahweh's done something that's in another realm. And we don't have a word for that. But we begin after a total generation with Adam and Eve. And we're going to see their birth was like nothing else.
Well, Eve was Adam too, though.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's not in Genesis 2, but it's in Genesis 1. So Genesis 2 is husband and wife relationship. And that's why at the end of the chapter it says that she leave their father and their mother and cleave unto their wife. Okay. Genesis 1 is the creation of Adam and Eve, or Adam as a whole. And let's just go there. Genesis 1.
Twins.
Now, amazing how people can we get so messed up.
Well, it's not understandable.
Well, that's just right there. And other people would say Genesis 2 is the second count of creation of male and female.
I never even used to understand that at all.
Well, even in Rotherham, under 2:4, what's it say? Second account of creation. Let's look at the first count. Chapter 1, verse 26. And Elohim said, let us make Adam in our image, after our likeness. And just always remember, Adam is not a human. Adam was made in the image and likeness of our Father. Of Elohim. Not our Father, but of Elohim. And that especially pertains to Christ. Or Mashiach. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the bird of the heavens and over the tame beast and over them. And it said them, we're talking about plural. That, as we're going to see, it's Adam and Eve, over all the land, over every creeping thing that creepeth on the land. And Elohim created the Adam in his own image, in the image of Elohim created he him, male and female created he them. This is in Genesis 1, it's not Genesis 2. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the bird of the heavens, and over every creeping thing that moveth on the land. That is, Adam, they are perfect. They are to be in an image and likeness of Elohim as gods on the earth. They probably had to have a perfect mind with everything that they needed to do. They didn't have to discover fire. They didn't have to discover metals. It was all there. Yahweh completely equipped them as a perfect male and female.
They're in his image.
Yeah, and they had no sin. So remember, their sin, they were made as adults. Knowledge was innate. And so that's the thing, too. Don't use the word instinct. You know what instinct actually means? Instick. Stick. Well, that's nothing to do with what we're talking about. It's like, you know, we just got to start calling all this stuff. Innate means inborn. Remember, N-A-T stands for birth. And that's why we have nativity, is the birth. Nature is not a birth of anything. And so, just remember, that it's all, if we start calling ourselves from the lies, it will make things a lot clearer, and we can start a new generation on correct communication. Otherwise, you say the word nature, nobody would know that it would have to do with birth. Well, then how did it evolve, or devolve from birth to whatever it means now? And the same way we see that with Ruach, with spirit. You know, spirit to people does not mean breath, but we're going to see that today. But they're in the image of Elohim and likeness of Elohim. Okay. Perfect birth, that reflects back to Adam, which is Mashiach Yahushua, which we're going to see, but there's two other ones we're going to deal with that are Yahweh generated, and that's Sarah. And who else? Elizabeth. Because something happened, and this is very fascinating. On the woman, when she is born, she has all she has for egg-wise. Let's see here.
She's born with all of her eggs.
Yes. And so the female, and so we're going to look at oocyte. Oocyte is O-O-C-Y-T-E. That's not the egg, that's before the egg. Oocyte is an inactive egg cell.
Pencil?
No. They're born with this. So a female, let's see right here, female has around four, you know, when she's born, 4 million eggs.
Oh, okay.
Four million. She's losing 10,000 drop each month before puberty. So these things are being done before puberty. At puberty, she has around 300,000 to 400,000 eggs. She's not going to get any more. These are decreasing as time goes on. We're going to see sperm is completely different. There's no new eggs. And at puberty, the monthly loss of oocyte, and it's neat. O is the Greek word for egg, and cyte is for cell.
For what?
Cell. C-E-L-L.
Cell.
Yeah. Oocyte is what they're called as regular cells. They don't become eggs until later on. But they're losing monthly of oocytes slow down after puberty. Instead of 10,000 each month, it's like 1,000 each month. At age 30, she has about 72,000 oocytes left. Oocyte. It's three syllables. At age 40, around 18,000. No eggs left. Estrogen level starts to decline. Menopause at age 45 to 55. And why this is so significant, because in Sarai's birth, there's no eggs. And as we're going to see in Elizabeth's time, there's no eggs. They're too old. They can't have eggs. The eggs are all gone, and menopause has come, and that's it. You're born with a certain amount of eggs, so Yahweh's going to have to do a birth that's different. You know, we have people like Hannah. We have people like Rebecca, who didn't have children, had problems giving children.
Rachel.
But they were not without eggs. So there might have been some other obstructions that happened that they got healed of. And they end up, you know, Hannah had Samuel. Yeah. And then Rebecca had, you know, Esau and Jacob. But that's the only two she had.
Well, so Hannah had a lot more than
Samuel. Yeah, that's right. And so you got other people that do that. But we just got to remember that they had eggs. These other two women did not have eggs. So Yahweh's going to have to create an egg in these particular situations, because man, sperm produces millions of sperm cells every day. I didn't realize this. Sperm production never stops, ever. And so then we have to say, if sperm production never stops, then obviously the man, now they cannot be good sperm, they could be even poor sperm.
Because slow.
Well, yeah, but there are things that are not good. You know, yeah, they're not good because of diet and all sorts of stuff. And there's many times it shows you all the different things that can go wrong. But sperm is produced. Okay, so when we get into Abram and into Zechariah, they've got the equipment. Now, what happened with Abraham, in the best of my opinion, is we go to Genesis 17, verse 1. Uh, So we know Abram was fertile because obviously he had Ishmael.
Yeah.
Another thing that's got it became enlightened to me. And what we're going to find out too is that a man, when he cannot get an erection, cannot produce children. Unless surgically they remove the sperm. And so what you've got is this. You know, so when Sarai gave him to
Hagar,
guess what? He had to get a what?
Erection.
Erection, which means she had to be flattering to him. And so as a wife, that could not be good. Because it'd be better off, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. I don't like, she's ugly to me. There's no exception. And so that had to hurt, for one thing, you know, that the person, you know, got an erection with her maid, and then she gets impregnated. So obviously it's me, O Lord, and not him.
Yeah.
So that even hurts even worse. You know, so you're looking at a double whammy on Sarai. So at 17:1, and it came to pass that when Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am El Shaddai, which is really important because that's all powerful. Because the context is going to be, you're going to do something very special.
Yeah.
Now walk thou before me and become thou blameless, that I may set my covenant betwixt me and thee, and may multiply these exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim spake with him, saying, as for me, lo, my covenant is with thee, so shall I become father of a multitude of nations. I mean, this is just like, hey, I'm 99 years old. We've been trying this for 25 years.
Probably longer than that.
Yeah, but I mean, at least when you told that I was going to be a generation, I was age 75, and now I'm 99. So when the promise came that you're going to be you're going to have children as the sand of the sea, you were 75. And thy name shall no more be called Abram, but thy name shall become Abraham, for a father of a multitude. And remember, father is Ab, A-B. It's not Abraham, it's Abraham. It's not A-man, it's A-man. So in the Hebrew, it's always Ah. And I appointed these, and I will make thee fruitful exceedingly, and grant thee to be nations, yea, kings out of thee shall come forth. Wow. What a promise. But this is Yahweh generated. So I'm going to try to say supernatural. No, this is, we're going into a creating process, a creation. So now we go to 18. Well, let's go to 17, chapter 17, verse 17 and 19. And Abraham fell on his face. Now they called him Abraham instead of Auburn, which is interesting. Fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, to one 100 years old shall a child be born, and shall even Sarai, who is 90 years old, give birth? And Abraham said unto Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And Elohim said, truly, Sarah thy wife is about to bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an age of body covenant to his seed after him. There's the promise. Now we go to 18 verse 10, which obviously Sarah overhears this. And he said, I will surely return unto thee at the quickening season, and lo, a son for Sarai, thy wife. Now Sarai was hearkening at the opening of the tent, it being behind him. But Abraham and Sarah were old, far gone in days. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, which means she had no more eggs. So you can't have a child if you have no more eggs. So then Sarai laughed within herself, saying, am I past age, or after I am past age, after it come to my pleasure, my Lord being old? And Yahweh said unto Abraham, wherefore now does Sarah laugh, saying, Can it really and truly be that I should bear seeing that I have become old? Is anything too wonderful for Yahweh? At the appointed time, I will return unto thee at the quickening season, and Sarah shall have a son. Okay, so in this particular case, we know that her eggs are gone. Yahweh is going to have to create an egg. And so this is the first recorded instance where Yahweh created an egg. So we have... you know, Adam and Eve, supernatural birth. Now we have Sarah. Now we go into Isaac. Well, we know there was Rebecca. We know about Rachel, a problem, but she did have Joseph and Benjamin. Yeah, we got Rebecca, we got Hannah. Let's see here. So now we go to Elizabeth, also very old, and Luke, chapter 1, verse 11. And if you're trying to introduce anybody into the Scriptures, to say the book that they read is Luke, it's not the Gospel of John. Luke tells the whole story. The people are directing people to the Gospel of John, which is just ridiculous. Now, he also, an egg had to be created. So Luke 1, you know, well, we don't have to go there. 11 through 15.
Chapter 1, 11, verse 11.
Yeah, verse 11. I guess we will look at it, because one other thing that John, the future Yohanan, John is actually Yo for Yahweh, Hanan, which is favor, Yahweh favor. And actually, you can kind of see it, J-O, make that Y-O, because there's no J's. And Hanan, H-N, is H-A-N-N-O-N. So Yohanan. That's the Hebrew word that's being pronounced here, and not John. John means nothing. Neither does Jesus. Jesus means nothing. You know, Yahushua means something. Yahushua means Yah is salvation. Jesus means nothing. Iesus means nothing. These are Greek. And now, Greek was Iesus. Jesus is, I don't know where that came up. You know, it just, the I became J, and all of a sudden, that's probably the 1600s. But not even that, because in the original King James 1611, they spelled it with an I. Iesus. And that's what the word is. That's the Greek word. And then they changed it somehow to G, and now we got Jesus, which has no bearing whatsoever to the Greek or the Hebrew. And instead of people changing, most of the time the people refuse, because my father did this. My father got it wrong, so I'm going to keep it wrong. Okay. Go with that. Whatever. But that's what you're saying. But he also is a one of a kind. Instead of Isaac with Yohanan, he has spirit in the womb. So there's another birth like this. So not only did Elizabeth get an egg created in her, because Zachariah still had sperm. Now the different thing is with the problem with Zachariah and Abraham, where they had to come into effect, is they're old. And so with older people, they many times become impotent, which means they can no longer have an erection. So if you can't have an erection, you can't impregnate anybody. So people got to realize that's just a matter of fact. So when Abraham, when he went in with Hannah, not Hannah,
Hagar,
you know, he could get an erection and impregnated her. Now he's 99, and when he laughs, he's probably saying, that's not happening anymore. I don't have that ability anymore. And that's why he laughs, and Yahweh's going to make this, this is going to be Yahweh generated, because you're going to be able to have an erection, and you're going to have healthy sperm, and I'm going to put an egg in her. All right? Now we know that Abraham, after that, had six more children after Sarah died, so obviously he became potent. Not impotent anymore, because he has six more children. And he's still producing, is a good illustration of, shows you that sperm is always produced all their life. Because he's, dies at 175.
Yeah.
So he's having children. And she died at 130 something. He had to be 145 at that time. He marries, or has a concubine, but I think wife.
True.
And then gives her six children. And so you're looking at 150, 160 years old having children. So that verifies what science has discovered.
They were a potent thing.
Yeah, that was it. But let's go into Elizabeth, verse 11 to 15. And there appeared unto him a messenger of Yahweh standing on the right hand of the altar of incense. And so what's over here? The showbread. And so you have the incense. So remember, the Holy of Holies is called the Debir.
The what? Debir.
Debir, D-E-B-I-R, which means oracle, or it comes from Debar, which means word. So what's in the ark?
Word.
The word, which are the tablets. So everything is based on the word of Yahweh. You know, it's amazing how it's not respected at all with translations.
We're Christians.
Yeah, it's not holy. It doesn't have cherubims over it because people can care less. They just butcher it all up. But the incense is right before the Holy of Holies, which actually in here it usually says the incense, the altar of incense is really is with the Holy of Holies, even though there's a curtain right in front of it. So it's facing the altar. So off to the right, the showbread, and off to the left, you got the candles. The lamp, not candles, but the lamp is burning all night. The showbread is 12 loaves. But so, Zechariah is before the altar of incense, which represents what?
Prayers.
Prayers to Yahweh. And all of a sudden, bingo! Somebody, when you're all alone and somebody, it'd be like in your bathroom, and somebody goes, "Hi, Melania. What? The door's locked. You can't be in here." And that's Zechariah. Standing at the right hand of the altar of incense, and Zechariah was troubled when he beheld, and fear fell upon him. Yeah. But the messenger said unto him, "Do not fear, Zechariah, inasmuch as thy supplication hath been hearkened to." And, you know, wait a minute. I quit praying that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. "And thy wife Elizabeth shall bring forth a son to thee." Yeah. "And thou shalt call his name Johanan. And thou shalt be, and there shall be joy to thee and exulting, and many over his birth shall rejoice, and he shall be great unto Yahweh, and wine and strong drink in no wise may he drink. And with the holy Ruach shall he be filled already from his mother's womb." A birth has never been done, and maybe never done afterwards either. So we have Adam and Eve, and we have Isaac, and now we've got Yohanan, born with Holy Ruach, and Elizabeth getting an egg created in her body.
It's like Yahweh putting a little Ark of the Covenant inside Elizabeth.
Yeah.
It's a little temple.
Yeah. And we also got to say, too, that, you know, once a woman goes through menopause, there is no basically no more womb left. It's still there, but it's not active whatsoever. So you have to have a womb, and so a womb has to be regenerated. Let me just give you a little illustration.
I hate it when I have a womb.
Let's see here. I think I did that. Maybe I didn't write that down. It's amazing. The body, after 4 minutes, starts decaying once it dies. I wrote all that down. Resurrection. Oh, there it is. So we're looking at walking into a regeneration, which obviously Lazarus was one of them, and anybody raised from among the dead was one of them. Lazarus, especially 4 days. 24 to 72 hours, internal organs decompose within that time frame. Decomposition begins 4 minutes after a person dies. So you're looking at the restructuring. You know, anybody in anatomy would say, there's just no way. All the vessels have collapsed. You know, the blood is frozen up the arteries, the veins, everything is done. You know, there is no reconstruction on this, and that's a regeneration of what Yahweh can do, and what he did with Lazarus, and obviously he did with his son. But these are nothing to them when you start looking at it. And then you're looking at a woman's womb at age 80 or 90. It's just shut down. So Yahweh not only has to create the eggs, he's got to regenerate that whole part of the body. The man's sperm is still there, but he's got to make sure they're healthy sperms. Oh, but he's got holy Ruach and shall be filled already from his mother's womb. And verse 16, many of the sons of Israel shall be turned towards Yahweh their Elohim, and he shall go before him in the Ruach and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers unto children and the unyielding unto the prudence of the righteous. So we see that. Now we get into Mary, which is Yahushua's mother. So we have to understand, I've got some places when they're Unitarian, they'll say the human Jesus. And really what you're doing is, you just don't do that. You don't use the word human. You could say he's Adam. He's an Adam. And Yahweh says that. He says, son of man, son of Adam. And the Greek's going to change that from son of man, Adam, to son of Anthros, Anthropos. And it's the same word, Adam. But they're going to make a distinction. The Greek from the Septuagint makes a distinction between Adam and mankind. Why the Hebrew does not. So we need to keep it with the Hebrew, and he is the son of Adam. And so you can say, was he a human? I'm going to say he was an Adam. And the scriptures...
Isn't that what an Elohim?
Pardon me? And he was an Elohim. Yeah. A begotten Elohim. Because he's son of Adam and son of Elohim. So he was generated like nobody's ever been and nobody ever will be again. So here's our fourth regeneration, which obviously the sperm that Yahweh made, had to create, did not have sin. And that's another thing we've got to realize. Sin means, what does sin mean?
Missing the mark.
Missing the mark. So think of an arrow shooting. Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily mean bad. It means missing the mark. And so I just was reading in Romans, I think 14 or 15, it says, things done without faith is sin. Well, well, there's a lot of things I don't do in faith, yeah. Things are done without faith are missing the mark. Well, that makes complete sense. Because Yahweh wants everything to be done in faith, but it doesn't mean, oh my God, I got a demerit here, I got a demerit here, I got demerits all of my life because sin. No, sin means missing the mark. Yeah. And there's obviously, when you fornicate, you miss the mark. But if I'm not doing something in faith, I'm also missing a mark. Well, there's no comparison here. So remember that. But we got to see that Mary had the egg. She was of age. And Yahweh created the sperm with no sin. And so he is not like any other. You can't say, he's a human. What are you implying by doing that? And so what you have to do is to say, let's preface that.
So he would be like Adam.
Yeah, he would be no different than Adam and Eve, except that the egg came from the seed of Adam. So he's of the seed of David, and now who Mary was came from David. And so the difference is, he was born, he started at birth while Adam and Eve were adults when they were made. So this is a completion of Adam. So we look at the first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam and the last Adam. Very simple in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to that. And that's where I think the Trinitarians were trying to say, you're denying his deity. Well, deity is not in this book. Let's just get rid of that word. What word are you saying? We do know that he's called Adam all the time. Peter calls him Adam. Paul calls him Adam.
What does he say in our Bible?
Book of Acts, he's called Adam.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, all the way through the Book of Acts. He's an Adam, so there's nothing wrong with that. And in 1 Corinthians, it is Adam. But they're gonna translate it as human when it should be a translated Adam. So the Greeks change it to Anthropos. But look at 45.
Luke 45?
No, 1 Corinthians 15, 45. And so he chose, in contrast to Adam and Eve, to be obedient unto death. Adam and Eve chose not to. And not only that, he chose to become the propitiatory covering for all of mankind, which makes him Lord. 45, thus also it is written, the first Adam became a living soul. The last Adam is a life-giving spirit. Howbeit not first is the body of the Ruach, but that of the soul, afterwards that of the Ruach, you know, body is added. The first Adam is of the ground, earthly. The second Adam is of heaven. As the Adam of earth, such also the men of are the Adams of earth, and as the Adam of heaven, so, you know, Yahushua is called Adam all over the place, so let's just bring it back to Adam. Well, then I say this Greek word is anthropos. Well, it doesn't make any difference. It's wrong. Because Adam is what Yahweh uses the word, and he doesn't use
anthropos. Yeah, I said in verse 45, like the first Adam.
Okay, yeah, you got the first and the second. Yeah,
it's not
and then they start, now, probably that was the actual name, and so they translate it, and then all of a sudden, these other ones, when it says man, it's probably anthropos. And even as we have born, verse 49, even as we have born the image of the Adam of earth, let's also bear the image of the Adam of heaven. That's his birth. So his birth is one of a kind. And so we've got four different births that are one of a kind. Now this, obviously, Yahweh made it. Now, let's see here. Nature is not in the word nature is not in the Old Covenant, ever. So let's just purge that word from our vocabulary. Unless it's saying nativity. You know, because it begins in Romans, in the Greek, for phusis.
For what?
Phusis is P-H-Y-S-I-S, but pronounced F-O-O-S-I-S. And that is a noun, 54:49. But it's not, there's no word for it in the Hebrew. Let's just keep it that way. It comes from the word phuo. There's 14 usages. Well, the 14 uses of nature in the Pauline epistles and Peter. It's not in the Gospels. And it comes from the verb phuo, which means to beget, bring forth. And so the verb is used in Luke 8:6, and Rotherham translates it growing. Luke 8:8, growing, and that's the sower and the seed. These are in Luke 8. And in Hebrews 12:15 is springing up. And so we just got to get rid of this and just say it has nothing to do with how people are using it. So nature, nothing comes from nature. It comes from Yahweh. Let's just get rid of this God called nature. Let's see one last thing, or a few things. The word of Yahweh came from the mouth of Yahweh. And we got to reorganize, re-establish this, because other people will say what?
Came from a Ruah.
Holy man of God, they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit, okay. Any Christian on their website beliefs are going to quote that verse, which is 2 Peter, which we're going to handle. But let's look at Numbers 12:7. To get back to it, so we're done with the verse. Now we're just going to do is correcting language. And taking this stuff back. Numbers 12:7. Not so my servant Moses, in all my house trusty is he. What?
Mouth to mouth
do I speak with him, and plainly, not in dark sayings, and the form of Yahweh does he discern. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? So the mouth of Yahweh is throughout here. So mouth to mouth, where do we get the five books from Yahweh? Mouth to mouth to Moses. So that's, you know, now when you get into 2 Peter 1:21, I'll show you where they're making a mistake. And they're going to say, prophecy came of old from, we're going to read what it says. And that's what everybody's going to adhere to. And that was including the way ministry. And I just thought.
Second Peter what?
Chapter 1, verse 21. Let's just start with 20. This first take note that no prophecy of Scripture become a self-solving, for not by the will of man came prophecy brought in at any time, but as by the holy breath. Remember, spirit means breath, right? The holy breath. They were born along, spake men from Yahweh. So breath and mouth go hand in hand. The difference now is we've got an entity called not breath. We got an entity called what?
Holy Spirit.
Spirit. All right? And what definition are you giving this? You're not giving it, it's not the God breath. No, because now we've changed into a different vocabulary and a different picture that has nothing to do with this word. Because as we know, ruach means breath, breathing, blast. We know that pneuma, and that's, you know, pneuma, have you ever heard of pneumonia?
That's Greek.
Yeah, but that comes from the breath, the lungs. Pneumatic. Anybody know about a pneumatic tool? What's that?
Yeah.
It's an air tool. Air. We got expire, inspire. Spire is breath. Greek for breath. Inspire, expire.
Respire.
You know, aspire. All these are all breath. But now we've got into a situation when you say spirit to anybody, it has no association whatsoever with breath. Which is what the word means. So we've got to reclaim that and just change it to breath. And so here it is. And as by the holy breath, does Yahweh have holy breath?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has mouth to mouth. He spoke. And they were born along, spake men from Yahweh. Well, Yahweh's mouth and breath, there's no contradiction whatsoever in this. But we still tell people today, Yahweh, the word came by the mouth of Yahweh. Yeah. And that's all the way through here. Okay, we'll
so
stop.
Okay.
I think that, oh no, resurrection. Yeah, well, I got that. So Elijah was resurrected somebody. Elijah resurrected. And we know the decomposition of the body, is it has to be regenerated. And obviously with us, 5 hours compared to 4 days. And Mary or Martha said, what about Lazarus? He
4 days, yeah.
Said what?
Stinketh.
He stinketh. He's decomposing. And when you look at how quick do people start decomposing, and it's 4 minutes after they die. It starts breaking down. The body starts breaking down because the blood is no longer flowing.
Yeah.
It's no longer giving oxygen to the cells. And so it shows you the cells start exploding or breaking
it's
apart.
Interesting because what is that? Life is in the blood.
Yeah, there's no. It can't exchange
so
carbon dioxide. It can't get rid of the oxygen. It can't get rid of carbon dioxide. It can't bring in oxygen. Everything stops, and the cells start degenerating or coming to nothing within 4 minutes. So that shows you the incredible thing that Yahweh does.
So, what was the gift we got?
We got holy ruach,
holy breath.
Yeah, and so yeah, but you have to understand that's another teaching on breath, which is always power.
Yeah.
All right, so it can mean other things, and so that's why we want to use the word ruach instead of spirit.
Yeah.
Once you say spirit, then what you've done is you've changed it. So there's with every word, there's a literal foundation that's attached to. And then it can go into, from that point, it can go into figures. So we can say, the mouth is a literal word. I have a mouth. That's the foundation. When I say the mouth of Yahweh, what am I saying? Does he, Does Moses see lips inside the tent talking to him?
No.
Then obviously now the word is taken on a figurative meaning of obviously communication comes from the mouth. So Yahweh's communication came to Moses in the tent of meetings, whether it was audible to anybody else hearing or whether it's just audible to Moses in his mind. Only Moses knows that, and Yahweh knows that. But we have to understand there's always a foundation. So Ruach's foundation is the first usage, and so which was Genesis 1-2. And then you go on, but the second usage, it is the breeze of the day. So when Yahweh's walking in the cool of the day, mm-hmm. that word is actually Ruach, the breeze
Which
of the day.
Walking?
Yeah, in the garden. Yahweh is walking in the garden. Adam, where are you? In the cool, and Raphaim will say breeze, but that's the second usage of Ruach. So you have to say, what does Ruach mean? I must take in all these accounts. And Yahweh, by his usage, will define Ruach.
Yeah.
And I can't, and they're not going to translate that spirit. That Yahweh is walking in the spirit of the day.
Yeah.
But that's the word.
Mm-hmm.
So now what you're doing is you're translating and not telling me the word. And so I'm only going to see what you want me to see.
Yeah.
And many times they'll say the wind of Yahweh, it's the Ruach of Yahweh. But they're going to say the word wind. Or they're going to say blast, and it's Ruach. And so you're never going to see the usages of Ruach, and this is Yahweh is going to define it by his usage. So that's another story. We'll go ahead and stop, and we'll hear from our Heavenly Father. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words, for these people, through Mashiach Yahushua, our Lord and Savior. Be at peace and know that I abide in peace, that you are my sons and my daughters, and in whom I have endowed with great spiritual abilities, great spiritual power. If you must exercise it, it is dormant until you exercise it. Do not wait for feeling. Walk forth in action, ready to act at any particular time as I communicate this with you. And you must be expecting. Amen. See you next week.
Not us.